John chapter 15. For those of you who have been wondering, Josephine Thatcher, she has sciatica in her leg, and it's really difficult for her to get around. Now, she's doing a lot better than she was about 3-4 weeks ago, but that's why Joe has not been in church with Rich. And so you just pray for Josephine, please. And she's getting a little better, and it's going to take some time. You know, the older we get, the longer it takes to recuperate some things. So just keep her in prayer, please, and Rich, and Lord willing, they'll be right back. Amen. So just, I appreciate you praying for them, for those of you who did not know. John chapter 15. We're going to read one verse together. Verse number 11. John chapter number 15 and verse number 11. And when you find it, let's all remain standing. Stand, and we'll read together. John chapter 15, verse number 11. Ready? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, dear God, for eternity in heaven. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross to pay for our sins. Thank you for taking our place, our punishment, and Lord, paying for all our sin debt. Dear God, please now meet with us. Dear Holy Spirit of God, bless, I pray, these dear folks for their faithfulness. I pray and I hope that this will be a help and a blessing. I believe it will be if we pay attention. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. John chapter 15, verse number 11. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. If you take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 17, two chapters later. In verse number 13, Jesus is speaking again. And he says, and now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Last week, we talked about the joy of salvation, if you were here. That was the first part of this series of joy. Remember last week, Jesus is joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. That will bring you joy in your life. Today, though, I want to talk to you about the joy of the Word of God. Today, we're talking about the King James Bible joy. If you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have Bible joy. Amen. You may be happy at times. You may smile and laugh and sing at times. But you do not have that constant joy that God talks about in the Bible to those who are willing to obey Him. Remember last week, happiness and gladness, being happy and laughing and smiling, is not necessarily joy. They're separate and apart and distinct. I'm talking about Bible joy this morning from the Word of God. The Word of God is a source of joy. It is Jesus Christ Himself. And as I said last week, salvation allows the believer to always have joy nearby. Always. Just like Jesus is always with the believer, and He has promised not to leave you nor forsake you. Joy is constantly present and available for the believer at all times. All the believer needs to do to avail himself of this joy is to believe it, read it, and listen to it. That's one reason why church is so important, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. If there's no King James Bible, there is no joy, none. I'm not talking about, like I said, being happy or having fun, and I'm not against that. I'm just saying there's a difference between joy and having fun. I'm talking about real Bible joy that's missing in churches and homes today and in our society. The lack of joy brings depression and discouragement. The lack of joy in our hearts and lives creates a vacuum that is being filled with drugs, alcohol, gambling, worldly pleasures, perversions, inordinate love, money, power, greed, jealousies, envy, bitterness, and hatred. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, we covered that in the adult Bible study. Let's turn to 1 John chapter number 5. Right before Revelation, four books before Revelation. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 13. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So God's telling us that one of the reasons he wrote the Word of God is so that we could know that we have salvation. So the Word of God gives knowledge about salvation, the eternal security of the believer, as we taught in the adult Bible study. Once saved, always saved. God has sealed you. You cannot lose your salvation. And that's because you and I do not deserve salvation, but the Word of God teaches us that it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is through his mercy and through his grace that God allows us to have salvation by believing his word, his promises. His word is the only fire escape out of hell that we have. Nothing else will do. Only the word of God. Jesus died one time for your sins. You only have to ask Jesus one time for salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in John 14. You really think if a person can lose their salvation that Jesus would start taking away and taking apart your mansion that he started? I don't think so. Do you think if you get saved again after you lose your salvation, that Jesus is going to start building your mansion again from scratch? I don't think so. It's not in the Bible. But if you believe you can lose your salvation, then you're trying to earn your salvation. You're trying to work for your salvation. You're trying to be good enough to be saved. You're trying not to be bad enough to be saved. Sounds like the Roman church that we got saved out of, amen? That's a work salvation. We believe in a grace salvation. Are you saying that the sinless blood of Jesus Christ was not good enough to wash away all your sins, just like the Word of God says? Amen. Do you think you need to help God along with your works in order to be saved or to continue being saved? That's how Bible literate our generation is today, ladies and gentlemen. This generation of church-going people believe that the charlatans who masquerade on television and radio by pretending to be preachers and evangelists who love money instead of God and the Word of God. My Bible teaches once saved, always saved. And you will never have joy in your heart and in your soul unless you believe that doctrine of eternal security. Otherwise, you will always be afraid and scared that maybe one day you will lose your salvation. There's no joy in that. There's no real Bible joy in that. There will always be a constant fear of doing something to prove your salvation. And that sounds like Catholicism, working for your salvation. It sounds like the Church of Christ where your salvation depends on your water baptism. It sounds like the Seventh-day Adventists that you have to stay away from coffee and tea in order to worship on Saturdays to be saved. Sounds like Jehovah's False Witnesses or the Mormons that teach a work salvation that do not even believe that Jesus is God. We're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We went through that this morning in the adult Bible study. This Bible teaches the joy of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Number two, the Word of God teaches us about the knowledge about God himself, that Jesus is God. If you take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 45, verse number 5. The Bible says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He said in Isaiah 43, verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. This Word of God teaches me the joy about who God is. Without Jesus being your God, there is no salvation. Jesus, the Lamb of God, prophesied in Isaiah 53. Jesus is the creator mentioned in Colossians chapter number 1. He's the same God in Genesis chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 when God said, let us make man in our image. He's the same God of the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. The Word of God brings joy to a believer's heart when they understand that the creator of the universe is specifically interested in you individually, not just generally, collectively, even though that's true, corporately. But God is interested in the individual. He's interested in you, ladies and gentlemen, individually. Because he created you. You are his creature. He's the creator. He's a loving creator. Jesus knows what you're going through. He knows what you've been through. And he knows what you're going to go through. He is the only one who knows all of that, ladies and gentlemen. The only one. And so the Word of God now teaches Bible joy by teaching me that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And teaches me who the real God is. No other book can do that. No other person can do that, ladies and gentlemen. No government can do that. No class can do that. Only the Word of God. Number three, The Word of God brings conviction of the soul, and that's good. That's a joyful thing. That's Bible joy. It pricks our minds and our consciences. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, the Bible says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even," listen to me good, "to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It sobers us up to the realities of life. That's what the Word of God does. It warns us of the impending dangers that lie ahead of us that we cannot see were it not for the Word of God. The Word of God can foresee the future. You and I cannot outside the Scriptures. The Word of God is the light in the darkness that reveals the traps and the snares that the enemy has laid for us. It is the answer to a good sound sleep when your conscience is clear. It is the answer to anxiety and nervousness when you trust what God says and put your faith in what God says in the Word of God. The Word of God will reveal to us what no other man on earth can reveal: our motives, our thoughts, our intents. It gives us a clear conscience. Only God can do that. And that brings real joy, Bible joy. Only God knows what you're thinking. Jesus called the Word of God at least three times in Scripture. The Word of God knows what you're thinking. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. This, the Word of God, is the earthly manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have right now. You're not going to hear some audible voice. That's not Jesus. That's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. You're going to hear God's voice through the pages of Scripture, ladies and gentlemen. The Word of God knows all about you. The Word of God will reveal yourself to you. It will examine yourself better than any cross-examination has ever done to any witness on a witness stand. It will be the best looking glass or mirror that you will ever look into, that James talks about, of what kind of person you really are. See, the Word of God is honest and trustworthy. Men are sinners. Men will fabricate. Men will lie. Men will color their view. But the Word of God is blunt. It's sobering. It's forthright. If that's true, and it is, then we shall allow God to speak to us through the Holy Word of God, the Word of God. From reading the Word of God, number four, he shows us his plan for our lives. Romans chapter number 12, the Bible says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Verse number 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So God, we have the security of the believer, point number one, through the Scripture. We know who God is through the Scripture. God brings joy through conviction through the Holy Scriptures. And number four, God gives us his will in our lives plainly in Scripture. We can know what God wants us to do in our own lives by reading the Word of God. So many times we think we're in a maze, bumping into walls, like in a rat trap. Well, from reading the Word of God, you can know what God wants in your life. The Bible is very clear. What we should do, what we should not do. Where we should go, where we should not go. How we ought to live, how we ought not to live. How we ought to behave, how we ought not to behave. Who to listen to, who not to listen to. Who to follow, who not to follow. It's all in Scripture right there. The problem is we don't read it. And thus, we have broken hearts when people disappoint us and let us down, and there's no joy in that. He can direct our paths, and we can be in the will of God in our own lives. Let me ask you a question. Are you in God's will today? Do you know you are doing what God wants you to do? Do you know what it is that God wants you to do? Are you listening to the wrong crowd who's influencing you to go against Scripture, the Word of God? Are you listening to friends or relatives who advise you differently than God does? Are you concerned about what God says? Do you have a chapter and verse for what you believe, for what you want to do, or how you are supposed to live? Only the Word of God can give you that kind of guidance and lead you correctly. Only. A church, a preacher, a pastor, evangelist, a speaker is only as good as they line up with the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Great men are not always wise, the best of all preachers. But the Word of God is perfect. It's inerrant. It's infallible. The Word of God is your source of total joy. It is the only thing on earth that will never let you down. And that is because it is God's holy word. When you trust another sinner to give you advice without consulting the Word of God, you'll be greatly mistaken and realize your error most times when it is way too late to correct it. But following and obeying the Word of God, joy will be your reward. Joy will fill your heart. You will receive joy upon the doing of the action that God commands. Reading your Bible brings joy. Memorizing Scripture brings joy. Sharing Scripture with others brings joy. Putting into practice what God says in the Word of God brings joy. Those who reject Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, turn out to be miserable, bitter people because they have lost their way in life, choosing against God. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." He said in Proverbs 3, 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." This book gives me joy by knowing God's will in my life. Point number 5. If you disobey the Word of God, you'll have heartaches and pain. I don't have time to read all of Deuteronomy 28, but you ought to go home and read Deuteronomy 28. It's one of the most sobering chapters in the Bible. God lists all the blessings, a lot of the blessings in life, if you obey God. And then he ends Deuteronomy 28 with all the curses for all the people who disobey the Word of God and the commands of God. Well, your joy or your misery depends on what you do with Deuteronomy 28. You either obey God or you disobey God. You're either going to receive the joy of obeying God or the heartache and the curses and the bitterness of disobeying God. All through the Bible, God tells us that God's curse and judgment are on those who disobey the Word of God. Financial woes due to sin bring troubles and problems that are compounded by more sinful reactions of people that are not grounded in the very Word of God. Being laid off or fired because of sinful behavior adds to the burdens of paying bills and buying food and clothes for the family. Injuries, sicknesses, and diseases bring pain. Being confined or being immobile, crutches, a cast, a wheelchair, maybe being bedridden, medications, having to recuperate, dependent on someone else, doctors and hospitals, and then more bills. Separation and divorce bring sadness and bitterness and anger. Suicides and overdoses, senseless killings, bring more than the average heartache and shock to loved ones grieving in pain over a lost loved one. Lying brings about a bad reputation. Stealing brings about dishonor. Cursing and using God's name in vain will bring God's punishment. He will not hold you guiltless, the Bible says. All that can be avoided by simply obeying the Word of God to the best of your ability. In so doing, you will have joy instead of sorrow and sadness. Obeying the Word of God brings joy to you personally, to your spouse if they love God, to your children if they love God, to others if they love God. It all depends on what you do with the Word of God. And therein lies the open secret of joy. It is available to everyone, even you. Jesus said so. And Jesus would never lie. The Bible says he's without sin. He's God Almighty. God says in the Bible that it is impossible for God to lie. He would never lie to you. Man lies because man is a sinner. Man will let you down because man is a sinner. The best of men will let you down. The best of husbands and wives will let their spouses down. The best of parents will let their children down. The best of children will let their parents down. And that's because we're all a bunch of sinners needing the Word of God to straighten us out and to correct us and to warn us and to exhort us and to encourage us and to convict us and to persuade us and to remind us that God loves us more than anyone else on planet Earth. He loves us more than anyone else is able to love us. Why wouldn't we then want to believe and trust God, since it is he that died for our sin and paid the price for our sin so that we could have eternal salvation by asking Jesus for mercy to save our souls from hell? Why wouldn't we trust him? You trusted him for salvation. You believed him for salvation. Well, I say read the same Word of God that brought salvation that'll bring you joy now. We prayed and asked Jesus to save us because someone shared with us God's wonderful gift of salvation from God's holy word. That salvation brought joy. Why would we want to believe and trust and obey the other parts? Why wouldn't we want to trust, believe and obey the other parts of the book that brought joy from the salvation from the same God that gave us salvation? Well, it's because the enemy has used unbelievers and backslidden, rebellious people of God to poison our minds and persuade us not to obey God's word and to live for God, so that those same people will not feel convicted of their state of being backslidden, rebellion when you join their backslidden, rebellious state. They don't want you to live for God because they feel guilt. They feel conviction when they see somebody else doing what they say they cannot do. The word of God brings joy of eternal security of salvation. The word of God brings joy when we can find out about who God is. The word of God brings joy from the conviction of the soul. You will bring heartache and discouragement and distress upon your life by disobeying the word of God. Number 5, Romans 10, verse number 17. You receive faith by the word of God. Romans 10, 17, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why is it that people don't have faith anymore, as much faith as they used to have? Because we're not reading the word of God. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Amen. We're not listening to the word of God. Amen. We're reading books, audio books. We're listening to the radio and the television. We're listening to watching videos. And I'm not against all of these. Don't misunderstand me. But most of them, you can just flush down the toilet, ladies and gentlemen. You're spending your time, valuable time, listening to other men's opinions instead of reading the word of God that'll give you faith. Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. Not by somebody holding their hand over your head or slapping you upside the head or saying be healed or any of that, all those gimmicks that are played on television today. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The more you read the word of God, the more faith you get. The more you hear the word of God, the more faith you get. The more you read the word of God out loud, the more faith you will receive. Why? I may not know all the psychological reasons for it. I just know what God says. And all I need to know is that what God says is faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's good enough for me. The reason we have such a lack of faith today amongst God's people is because God's people are listening to and reading perversions and not the word of God. That's why they don't have faith to go soul winning. You have a King James Bible. Did you ever notice people go soul winning have a King James Bible? When's the last time you saw somebody with an NIV go soul winning? When's the last time you see somebody with a perversion and a revised version go soul winning? New American Standard Version. When's the last time you heard anybody take a New American Standard Version and say, this is the word of God? Never. There's no joy in that. It's all been critiqued and cut out and pasted and cut out and put together by men's words. So we have a lack of faith today. We don't preach against sin because we have a lack of faith. We don't dress right because we have a lack of faith. We fail to witness to others as a result of a lack of faith. We fail to pray because of a lack of faith. We don't obey his commandments because of a lack of faith. And his commandments are not grievous, the Bible says. If you love Jesus, his commandments are not grievous. But if you don't have the very word of God, you don't have the joy to do that. You don't have the joy to please God. But if you love Jesus, if you love the word of God, you'll love souls, ladies and gentlemen. I think I'm in number 6. The word of God describes itself as a bread from heaven, spiritual manna. In Matthew 4:4, the Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All those boring genealogies that you think are just boring and just a waste of time, you know what God says? Read it. Amen. I've learned so many truths from just reading the genealogies. I mean, you ought to go to 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You ought to go back to Genesis and the book of Numbers. You think it's just boring stuff. Man, you can match up people and genealogies and generations. It's amazing by reading the word of God what kind of joy you'll get just from reading all of it. Not just the parts that you like. Jesus said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Do you have an every word Bible? Every word. Not every thought Bible, every word Bible. He said the same thing mentioned in Luke chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. If you tell me you don't have any joy, count up how much time you spend reading the Bible this week. Yeah, I'm just asking you. Don't say out loud. Don't raise your hand. I'm just asking you. Say, I don't have any, I'm not happy, Pastor. I'm not joyful. There's something missing. How much time did you sit down by yourself and read the Word of God? 1 hour a week in a church house is not going to cut it, ladies and gentlemen. It is our diet, this book is. Every person needs a good, well-balanced diet. That's why you got to read all of it. The good and what you think is the bad. The sweet and what you think is the bitter. It is milk that the nursing baby needs to begin growing. It is meat for the mature believer who wants to learn more about Jesus and the truths and the doctrines and life itself. The Word of God brings joy to the believer better than sitting down and eating a full dinner prepared by your mother or your wife. This Word of God, this Bible is full of vitamins and nutrients in every verse and every meal. It is sprinkled with many minerals and herbs on every meal. Every single word in the Word of God brings health and healing to every injured part of your spiritual body. It is sweeter than honey to your taste as you read it about how good God is and about salvation. And as you chew on it and digest it, the stomach acids turn it bitter when the proud and arrogant mock and laugh at your salvation. It is full of bitter herbs that keep the sugar-addicted, immature creatures away. But those bitter pills of separation strengthen the immune system that keep your spiritual body running healthily. Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 15, please. Jeremiah 15. It's good to read it once in a while, amen. Jeremiah 15. Here's a man who was put in the dungeon for preaching against his own people. Here's a man who exposed the people of God for their sins, their backslidden state, their rebellion against God. And he was put in the dungeon for it. Most people today would complain, called the ACLU, called their lawyer, sued everybody. You know what he says? Jeremiah 15, verse number 16. Here's what Jeremiah the prophet says. He said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Can you imagine being in a prison cell, in a dungeon, being persecuted for preaching and doing what's right, but still having joy? You know why? The Word of God. The Word of God. Hey, how much of the Word of God have you read? How much have you memorized? How much have you shared? The lack of joy is directly correlated to how much lack of reading the Word of God we do in our lives. I mentioned last week, Nehemiah chapter number 8, they read in the book of the law, in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And the Bible says, they taught the people and they said unto all the people, they said, mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Yeah, that's why people don't like preaching. They don't like what God says. Thou shalt, God's a very negative God. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. You know why? So God give you joy later on by obeying God. You tell your kids not, you know, you tell your 3, 4, 5-year-old not to play in the streets, right? You're going to get hit by a car. Well, that's pretty negative thinking, don't you think? Well, that's because a parent wants their child to live a little longer, amen? And God wants you to live a little longer. So God puts rules and he puts laws in your life so that you can be happy and have joy later on in your life by obeying the Word of God. The Bible says all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. But they said neither be, after they were weeping, after they wept, after they were sorrowful because of their sin, then they said, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Hey, when you understand what God says in the Word of God and you do your best to obey the Word of God, I promise you based on the Word of God that you'll have joy afterwards. I'm not saying that you won't be sad over some things. I'm not saying you won't be heartbroken over some things, but you'll have a constant joy that'll surpass any death, any heartache, any misery in life. World War III could be happening, and you could still be witnessing to your neighbor with joy, ladies and gentlemen. If you have Bible joy. Amen. Bible joy. You'll have Bible joy if you get laid off. You can have Bible joy even if your spouse leaves you. Listen to me good. You may not be happy about it. It may be a sad time, but you can still have Bible joy because Bible joy is constant. Jesus will never leave you, and the Bible in your heart, it will always be there, the Word of God. We said last week, he brought forth his people with joy, his chosen with gladness. Psalm 105, verse 43. We said last week, Isaiah 12:3, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Is God your salvation? Is God your joy? My Bible says in Matthew chapter number 13, 20, he that heareth the word of God and on with joy receiveth it, the Bible says in Matthew 13, 20. Same thing is found in Luke 8, 13, the parable of the sower and the seed. He said, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Remember you got saved? Remember how happy you were, how joyful you were? That joy comes from the word of God that you knew that you trusted Jesus for your salvation. You were saved from hell. That same joy that you had salvation is available all the time. Luke 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This joy is available to everybody. They're the ones that reject Jesus Christ. The world rejects Jesus Christ. The lost have rejected Jesus Christ. And they just want to be happy. They want to be in a safe space. They'll never be joyful, Bible joy, unless they have Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Psalm 51, verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You can restore the salvation that you had as salvation. You can restore right now this morning just by believing what God said in the Word of God. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He said in John 17, 13 that we've read, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. 1 John 1, 4 says, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So God gives us the word of God. These are written so that we might have joy. Why don't you stop listening to radio for a week or two? Why don't you turn off the television for a week or two? Why don't you stop going online for a week or two and see how much joy you have just by reading the Word of God? Just read it. Bible joy brings peace. Peace to your mind, peace to your soul, and peace to the body of the believer. Psalm 43, verse 4 says that God is my exceeding joy. And when you read the Word of God, you hear and learn who God really is. Isaiah 9, 6 says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Ephesians chapter number 2 says Jesus is our peace. In verse number 14. In Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace comes from the Word of God. Peace comes from the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace is given to the believer whose mind is stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the believer who trusts the word of God instead of man. The vacuum in the heart of man needs to be filled with love, joy, peace that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ being on the throne in your heart. You need to ask God to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. Philippians 4, 7 says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number one, the Word of God only has a joy of salvation. Number two, the Word of God teaches us about God himself, who is the only source of Bible joy. Number three, the Word of God reveals God's will for our lives, which brings joy when it is fulfilled. Number four, disobeying the Word of God will bring the curse and judgment of God upon your lives. Number five, hearing and reading the Word of God gives you faith. You want more faith? Read more of the Word of God. Number six, the Word of God alone is our spiritual food. Not your dreams, not your visions, not men's books or magazines or pamphlets. And number seven, the Word of God alone is our peace. The enemy will do everything he can to keep you away from this book, the King James Bible. He doesn't mind if you use the NIV because there's no power, no joy, no Jesus in those perversions. But the enemy and the world hate the Word of God. Satan knows that if he can keep you away from reading the Bible, he can keep you away from Jesus and joy, and thereby create a vacuum in your heart that you will try to fill with other things and other people. Brethren, sisters in Christ, I urge you this morning to read the Word of God. Not only when you're gathered together in church, not only in good times, not just at home, at work, or at the park, but everywhere you could possibly go, carry a New Testament with you. Read it. Even if you have gospel tracts, just read the gospel tract over and over and memorize those verses on the gospel tract. Learn it, obey it, love it, cherish it, share it. Share the gospel with others who are lost on their way to hell, who are trying desperately to fill that void in their hearts with everything else except the only thing that will give them permanent and lasting peace and joy, the Word of God. Last week, we talked about the joy of salvation. Today is the joy of the Word of God. Read it over and over and over again. I don't care if you read it one time. Read it the second time. Read it the third time. You ought to be able to read the Word of God at least twice during the whole year, ladies and gentlemen. What I've been told is you read four chapters a day, you can read the whole Bible in 1 year. Well, you know what? That only takes about 15 minutes to read. You'll sit down and watch a stupid movie for like 3 hours. You go vacation somewhere, sit in a park somewhere on the beach somewhere in the mountain somewhere and lay down for 6-12 hours just watching the scenery. The lack of joy in our lives is directly correlated to the lack of Bible reading in our own personal time. God loves you. God wants to fill you with joy. It's available to everybody. He's given us the secret. It's an open secret. He's given us the formula for joy. It's no matter where you open the book, it'll produce joy by reading it. Faith will increase. Your joy will increase. The assurance of your faith, the assurance of your salvation will increase. By one thing, reading the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. I say we go home and read it. And personally, I think it's better if you read it out loud. Your mind will be more focused on the Word of God. You know how your mind is distracted sometimes? Your mind wanders sometimes? I know it doesn't happen to you. It just happens to me. But I'm just telling you, the Word of God will bring joy. No medication, no prescriptions, no drugs, no nothing else the world has to offer. The Word of God alone will bring and give you permanent, lasting joy that'll go through everything, thin and thick. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to us who you are. Thank you, dear God, for all the truths found in the Word of God. So often we minimize the importance of the Word of God. We may send a verse here or two to people in a text, on Facebook, in an email. And those are good. I'm not minimizing those at all. But we need to read the whole book, cover to cover, to have lasting joy that'll go through heartaches and burdens and trials. It seems like everybody just about is going off the deep end today. They're miserable. They want people to make them laugh and happy, but they don't have true joy. Lord, help us to share the only joy that they'll ever need, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless these dear folks. I pray whatever their need is, I pray they'll do business with God this morning. If they're not saved, may they meet the Prince of Peace this morning. May they receive him as their Savior this morning. If they're saved, they've never been baptized, may they get baptized this morning. And whatever else their need is, please work on their hearts. Bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.